Well, good morning. Welcome to Fairlawn Baptist Church. My name is Jason Spade. I'm the pastor here, in case I haven't had a chance to meet you. We're glad that you came and worshiped with us this morning. We're doing something special this morning. It's not often in a church that we get to celebrate the ordination of new deacons, nor that we get to license a couple fellows for gospel ministry. So a large part of our service this morning will be centered around that. Really, everything but our worship time will be centered around that. It's a great time to get to celebrate how God is calling and using people in our church. It's a good reminder to you guys that if there's things God is calling you to do, we as a church want to help you do those. We want to be able to provide pathways for you to grow into whatever it is that God is calling you to do, whether that's something as simple as being a Sunday school teacher or working in a children's area to going and being a pastor or a missionary overseas. So whatever it is, we want to try to help you do that. And I hope this morning you get to experience some of that with these gentlemen. Plus, it's a great way to kick off the remainder of January. We're going to be talking about being remarkable. And we're going to talk about the fact that Fairlawn this year celebrates 50 years as a church. Kind of the title of that 50-year celebration is Faithful. But we're going to talk about not only being faithful, but how do we move from that to being remarkable for Christ. So we'll talk about that over the next 3 weeks, but this kind of kicks that off, because these gentlemen that we'll be celebrating this morning, that we'll be ordaining and licensing, are stepping into roles to attempt to be remarkable for God. So as a church, we need to lift these people up, we need to pray for them, support them, to be willing to come alongside of them and encourage them when things get tough, and understand that they're stepping into some roles where decisions sometimes have to be made that aren't fun decisions to make. Sometimes they're involved in circumstances that are extremely fun and decisions to make. So it's just something where they need your prayers. We'll talk about that during that. There's a part of this service where I'll be speaking directly to you as a church, where you'll be charged to lift up these gentlemen in different ways. So be prepared for that. But I'm really excited about what it is we're going to do with these folks today. And I pray that it's something that touches you all as well and helps you to understand that God can use all kinds of different people in all kinds of different ways. And you'll see that in the cast of characters, so to speak, that will be up here in these chairs and the one leading the service as well. So it's important to understand that each one of you, you do have a purpose that God has given you, that God has gifted you for and called you to, and our job as a church is to help you step into that role. So we're going to just do a couple quick announcements. If you, tonight, 6 o'clock, we do our D groups, discipleship groups is what that stands for. I do one in here. We have 3 other classes that are around the sanctuary. And Brett and Ashley Wolf do one, and tonight they're doing snacks. So if you're in that class, make sure you bring snacks and things for that. If you're in my class and you want a snack, go to Brett and Ashley's class tonight. But they're doing that. And today, the youth are going to be staying in here during the 10:30 hour. They're actually going to stay in here for a little bit here. They're going to do their study time during 9 o'clock and then come in here to join us on Sunday mornings. So if you have youth that's normally leaving right after we do the welcome, they'll stay in here today. And you can come down and sit with them over here if you want to, if you're dispersed out around the sanctuary as well. But if you would please stand with me, we're going to do our weekly read and respond, and then we'll pray and welcome each other here this morning. The question is, what is our only hope in life and death? And the answer, that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 14:7-8 says this, "For none of us live to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for these men that are stepping forward today. Lord, I thank you for this church that has raised up these men. Lord, I pray you do find us faithful, but Lord, I pray you move us to be remarkable for you. Lord, open our hearts and minds to your word this morning. Help us, Lord, to worship you unabated, Lord, just to be completely immersed in you. Help us, Lord, to celebrate you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, please take a moment, shake hands, and welcome somebody here this morning.
As we continue on with worship this morning, as I was picking out the music this morning for what we're getting ready to do here this morning, I thought, you know, a lot of people have just answered the call of Christ and where he's asked them to go. So wherever God is calling you to step and all that, are you willing to follow him? And that's what this song is about.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. How you
Come on forward. Dave Wills is our deacon of the week. Y'all can go ahead and be seated. Ushers, if you'll go ahead and come on down for our morning offering. Brother Dave, all yours, man.
The world's joy is temporary. Christ's joy is deep, a deep well of quiet happiness. And because the source of it is the Lord himself, it is stable and forever. Good morning. Happy Blessed New Year. It's a great day here in church. We had a great Christmas service, baptisms, a lot of New Year's promises. We'll see how many you can keep. But this year, let's treat our spiritual lives better than we do our cars and trucks. We pump gas, change oil, filters, air, rotate and buy new tires. Wax them, make them shine. Occasionally, we leave the lights on, the battery goes dead, we have to get the jumper cables and recharge the batteries. Do you need to make some changes? Does your spiritual life need a boost? Have you stalled, drifted away, lost your desire to know and love our Savior Jesus Christ? Is it time to accept His gift of salvation? Time to be baptized? Is it time to recommit your life to our God? Let's get recharged and let the light of the Holy Spirit within us make us shine and let others know we believe. Let's pray. Father God, we are joyful givers. Lord, use our tithes and offerings to spread the gospel here and throughout the world. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to know you. Take my hand. Walk with me. Show me the righteous way as I journey through my life here on earth. I know you will never desert me. And when my time is over, you will welcome me into your home, my final destination, heaven. Amen.
For the homeless that I work with, I see the one common denominator that they have is something has happened in their life and they lose everything. Everything that they've depended upon, everything that they've trusted in is gone. It's broken. People walk into that forest with the intent that they will never walk out. That's what Ryuichi tried to do. Commit suicide.
So, it's 自分を多分ストレスの吐き口、やり場のない気持ちを自分に向けてたんだと思いますね。When
he was 5, his parents didn't want him. They actually tried to drown him in the ocean. That rejection stayed with him his entire life.
もちろん、ここの樹海がみんながよくしに来る場所っていうのは知ってました。 自殺しようとした時に、その富士山の頂上に5合目までかな、に行くバスがこう何回行っても出ないんですよね。もうお金がなくなって、しょうがなく新宿に行って、そこから寝られそうな良い公園に行きました。
いいですか？すいません。おはようございます。ジャムです。
Several times a week, we have what we call sidewalk chapel, taking the church to the park, and we're worshiping with the homeless where they are. So by approaching a homeless person, even a simple thing like giving somebody a piece of bread starts the relationship. About 10 years ago, several missionaries began working with homeless people. These marginalized people responded to the gospel. Japanese Christians joining with missionaries and homeless people and former homeless people who come back, we all team together to do the work. The first time I met Ryuichi, he had a little bit of hope. And within a matter of weeks, this young man came to faith in Christ.
そのタイミングを知ってるのが神様だけだっていうのをその瞬間に感じ取りました。で、今なぜもう一度生きようかと思ったのは
愛してくれてる人がいると分かったから、喜びは聖書の言葉が分かった瞬間ですかね。
He became a person of joy. He knows the word. He's taking responsibility for teaching and discipling others. The 180 degree transformation of this young man's life was amazing and a blessing to watch. I have the privilege of working with about 20 or 30 guys who have been baptized in the last couple of years. These men and women who were completely lost and now they've been found, they identify themselves with this body of Christ to learn how much God loves you and operate out of that love. And that's transformational.
I could go ahead and get the rest of our deacons and to come on down. They'll sit in behind me just so you can have eyes on them. You'll know who it is that that are some of our servant leaders of the church and some of our new ones. Yes, by all means. Those that we're adding to our deacon body this year include Rick Morgan, who's up here every morning. He's actually been a deacon here before, coming back on board. Bob Hall, who's actually was a deacon when I first became a deacon here several years ago, and he's coming back on board. And then we're ordaining Eric Clark. He has been a member here for quite a while now and is stepping into this role. He also teaches our young adults. So it's great to have him on here as well. And then we're ordaining Michael Kaplinger, who's been one of our yoke fellows, which we do that as part of our deacon ministry. It's for guys that aren't 100% sure they're ready to be a deacon yet, but they can come alongside of deacons and learn what that process looks like. What does the job entail? What's the spiritual requirements that maybe need to be in place or areas of our lives that we need to work on? So it's a great ministry as well for people that are just thinking maybe they're called towards being a deacon. So it's something to keep in mind as a congregation, that's an option that's available. So if you are someone that begins to feel that type of a call, we would love to talk to you about that as well. One of the great things about this time is just how phenomenal it is that God continues to raise up and commission new leaders within the church. It's a great reminder, should be a great reminder to all of us, that while we are all extremely valuable to God, we're not indispensable to God. It means that sometimes I can tend to think as a pastor, well, it's all up to me. And it's just not. It's not all up to me. If something happened tomorrow and I was gone, God would raise up another leader for this church. He would. Because God continually builds up leaders. And as a church, we are responsible to do that same thing. So it's great when we have the opportunity to come and especially to start a brand new year by commissioning some deacons back onto the deacon fellowship, ordaining some that are coming on for the first time, and then also in that same service to be able to license two people for gospel ministry. We'll be licensing Mark Welch, who is the leader of our youth, and you heard speak last week if you were here, and then Rick Morgan. Not only is he going to be a deacon, but he's also going to begin the process of licensing. Just to kind of cover what that is, licensing is a first step in gospel ministry that ultimately leads to pastoral ordination. Licensing means, as a church, we believe that these two men are far enough in their spiritual journey that they can begin to preach the word to people and that we're commissioning them, standing behind them in that process. It also means that they're willing in that part to subject themselves to learning some core doctrinal and theological things that will ultimately allow them to pass a pastoral ordination council. An ordination council, you bring together a group of leaders from your church, some leaders from other areas outside of your church, and basically, you get grilled for a period of time Mine was about an hour and a half, I think. But it just depends on how it's done or where you do it. But it's intense. There's hard questions asked in ordination. So a licensing is kind of saying, we believe in your call. We want to help aid you to grow in that call, but you're not quite ordained yet. But it's the first step. It is the step that leads to that. So it's a very important step. We have maybe, other than myself, we might have two other people in our church that are licensed to speak. And today we'll have two additional that are licensed to speak. So it's not a minor thing. It's a major step in the life of a future pastor, whatever role that is. It may not be a stand in the pulpit and preach pastor. It might be a music pastor or education pastor or a youth pastor, or you just never know. Well, I'm not saying we know exactly where their call is. We're saying we recognize there is a call on their lives. So that's what that is. Deacon ordination is the setting apart for service of an individual that has accepted the office. We are, in our belief system as Fairlawn Baptist Church, deacons are servants of the church. They're not an elder board. They're not an executive board. They consult with me on decisions, but ultimately we are a congregationally led church. So they are servants to the body of Christ. That's their predominant role, is to be servants to you. That's part of the reason why we put that phone number up there every week. It's because they desire to be of service to you. So please don't ever feel like you are imposing if you call that number. That's what they're called to. Help them fulfill their call by allowing them to serve you. Okay? So that's part of that. It means that they met the requirements and are willing to be held accountable to the position that he now holds. That's what ordination means. It means the requirements have been met, and he is perfectly willing to be held accountable to the position that he now holds. That's also what happens in ordination of a pastor. You accept the fact you have passed a requirements exam, and you are effectively saying, hold me accountable to what I say I will do. So ordination is a big deal. It's not a minor thing either. So licensing, as I said a minute ago, says we endorse the person's call. That's what it is. Ordination says we endorse their ministry. Two slightly different steps. So when it comes time to ordain these two gentlemen that we're licensing, that'll be a different service. It'll be a little different call to their life, a little different level of accountability, a little different level of requirement. So we're going to read some scripture really quickly that apply kind of to both parties, but you'll be able to figure out which ones apply directly to the other ones. 1 Timothy 3:8-13 says this, "Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." That's the guiding verse for deacons. This is one that should always be taken into account whether you're a deacon or you're being licensed for gospel ministry. James 3:1 tells us, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." These are verses that help us understand the significance of stepping into these roles. It's important to understand that sometimes as a church we can kind of get in a mode where it's just, it's just a new deacon, but or it's just someone stepping into ministry. These are huge steps of people that are willing to step into roles that demand and contain high accountability, not only to you as a body of believers, but to God and to His requirements for stepping into these roles. It's something that as a church, we have to take very seriously who we place into those roles, who we endorse. So it's not lightly that I endorse any of these people on stage, whether they're our existing deacons or our new ones. So at this time, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to turn it over to each one of these people, and they can talk just briefly about their testimony, a little bit about how they felt called to this position that they're currently in. That'll take a few minutes, then we'll come back and do a little bit of a charge for both parties. So let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for these men. I thank You for their willingness to step into these roles. Lord, I pray for them as they step into these roles. Lord, I know that neither of these roles are easy to fulfill. Both of them come with pressure and tension at times, but they also come with joy and gratitude and humility, things that bring a peace and a love to our hearts that you can't experience unless you're following the call of God on your life. Lord, I pray that's what they experience, that they, no matter how tough times might get, there's still that sense of peace and love that you give those that you have called according to your purposes. Lord, help them to faithfully fulfill the roles you've called them to. And help us as a church, Lord, to help them in that process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rick, do you want to go first?
Sure. Oh my, in preparing for this, you think about how you're going to wrap up how God has worked through your life to bring you to the point where you're at, and you're going to do that in 30 minutes. Yeah, 2 or 3 minutes. I was born, here I am. Now, my mom's dad, with the way I was talking and all that and everything when I was little, he said, the boy's either going to be a preacher or a politician. Thank God we're following this route. I'd sort of labeled this thing, God Leads. In my conversion experience, and I told Jason before service, you know, you're not supposed to make deals with God, but my conversion experience, and God had been leading me as a child, and I was asking questions already, but we were in a revival service in the old sanctuary, and I remember the invitation, and I remember praying, God, if you'll send one person down, and then I changed it, if you send one man down that aisle, I'll walk the aisle. Before I even started raising my head, there's a guy that was sitting a couple rows in front of me that headed down the aisle. And so that was God assuring me that my call, or that the call that He had on my life at that point, accepting Him as Lord and Savior, was the right step to make. And so I was baptized shortly after that and went to church here and all that. God leading. In sixth grade, I got a really bad health issue. Was out of school for a while. God used that opportunity to take me away from some of the friends that I had made in elementary school and got me away from them. When, if you take a look at what they did when they were in high school and all that, I would not be the person I am today if I was still hanging around with that group. God took me away from that. God leading, after I left, He actually called me into the music ministry. Now, whether that was going to be in the church or in the school in ninth grade, I couldn't have told you that point. And look what's happened. I'm a music teacher at Blennerhassett Middle School. And don't worry, kids, I'm not going anywhere soon. But then I also get to lead music here at Fairlawn. I am a doubly blessed man to be able to do what I do. I got a call to end up teaching in Greenbrier County for 3 years. While I was there, God led me to work with the youth group. While I was at Greenbrier, I also worked with the music there at that church as well. After 3 years, God called me back here. Actually 2 years. I was a year in Greenbrier County, and Julie and I started dating again. And I said, if any lady ever puts up with me for a year, that's got to be the one that God's called me to, because who could put up with this? And so Julie and I were married in 1990 in November. Guys, notice I remembered that. But he's blessed me with that. After 3 years of being here, David Somerville was called to full-time ministry to pastor, and I took over the youth group here at the church, and I did that for the next 7 or 8 years. God, at that point, during that time, he also called me to Blennerhassett Middle School, back then junior high, to be a music teacher there. He closed the door on the youth ministry, and little did I know, I gave the church about a month notice to get stuff in order for me to go on and do whatever. A week later, I took over the music ministry here at the church and had no idea that was going to happen. But God showed me some things through that ministry, and I'll forever be blessed for that. Now, here we are at this step. What started out as helping Jason out on Wednesday nights has become, wow. Yep. Has now become a new door that God opened that I never would have dreamed. I enjoy teaching, not only at the school, but I enjoy teaching from his word. Some of you all may have already thought that this call had happened. And the call to ministry had happened several years ago. But to reach the point now where Jason approached us about being licensed and all that, that was something that God led me, and he has led me through each door. And so when you take a look at the 23rd Psalm, a lot of times we look at that for when somebody passes. But you know what? It says that he not only leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, he leads us beside still waters. And I believe he leads us on the mountaintops in every step of our journey. And so the 23rd Psalm was sort of what hit me when I was getting this together, is that God leads. And all we have to do is to be faithful to that in his calling. And so I just ask for your all's prayers as we go through this. Not only in the deacon part of it, but then in the licensing and then being ordained later on in the future. But your prayers are greatly appreciated through all this. I love y'all. You're my family. When we talk about the Fairlawn family, it is not just a little word that we throw out there. You all been on this path with me, and I appreciate each and every one of you in the way that you've provided and stepped in that with me. So we're on a journey together, folks. And so buckle up. Here we go, right? Thank you.
I guess I'm next. Not too long ago, about 2 years ago, I think we did the deacon ordination service here, and so I gave a pretty detailed account of my conversion experience, and I'll just briefly touch on that a little bit. Grew up in the church. I actually grew up in Fairlawn whenever we were back in where the praise station is now. That was the only part of the church. But grew up here, and I always, growing up as a young boy, getting older, I always knew about God. I knew most of the answers to say. I knew how to act. I knew the scriptures. I knew quite a bit for a young kid about God. And it wasn't until whenever I was 13, we went on a youth trip to Glenville State College. And we went there for a youth event. I don't even remember the speaker's name, but he was really, really good. He did an excellent job. And through that, one evening, there was a call, an invitation, and I was stubborn. I was like, no, I'm not going. And after that, I felt such a burden on me, like, you dummy, you messed up, you know. You felt this, you know what was going on, you know God was talking to you, and you denied him. And so I felt pretty bad about it. Well, that night, we're up in one of the areas we're shooting pool. And the speaker of that event for the week actually came up and asked me to play a game of pool with him. So I was 13 years old. I thought this was really cool. You know, there's this guy, he wants to play pool with me. So we're shooting pool, we're doing all this stuff. And he says, "Do you know God?" I said, "Well, yeah, I know God." He goes, "No, I don't mean do you know about God. Do you know God?" That was God talking. I never talked to him personally. He didn't know my story. He didn't know that I felt like I knew about God, but didn't have a relationship with him. So that was Jesus Christ speaking through him to me. And so I've been changed ever since, and it's been an awesome ride. As far as where I am today and why I'm here, I'll go back to another story, which started out in Dyersburg, Tennessee. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I was I 10 yet, maybe? I don't know. Young little boy, and we were in Dyersburg. I don't know if you guys remember Beulah Stover. She was here for a long time, and we were staying at their house. And I had a Bible with me that my parents or somebody got me, and I was reading it and just going through it. And Beulah said, "That boy's going to be a preacher." And I looked at her and said, "You're crazy. Ain't no way. That is never going to happen." But it planted that seed in my mind. And that was God planting a seed in my mind. And so I go out throughout the rest of my life, living up to now. And I always had that kind of in the back of my mind. And there were different occasions where God would pull that up. And I kept saying, "No, that's no. There's something else. No, not happening." Well, about 8 or 9 years ago, we started working with the youth. And my wife, I brought her here from Calhoun County, and she didn't know very many people here. And the youth pastor at the time and his wife were our age. And so she was trying to get connected with friends that were our friends, not just my friends. And so she said, "Well, why don't we help the youth out?" And again, I said, "Are you crazy?" But because of her leading, we went and we started helping out with the youth. And it was a great experience. I felt immediately whenever we started doing it, like, okay, this is where we're supposed to be. This is what we should be doing. This is what God wants us to do. And over the course of the last 9 years, we've been involved in helping teach and helping to coach and just helping in any way that we can to about 3 years ago where it's us and we're doing it. And about that same time, I really started to feel God knocking on my door again, like, "This is great, but I want more of you." And again, I kept saying, "You're crazy. There's no way." And shortly after that, this bald-headed guy back here, he says, "How would you like to speak on a youth Sunday?" Again, I looked at him and I said, "Are you crazy? There's no way that I'm going to be able to get up in front of people and talk. I don't do that. If any of you know me, I'm a shy guy. That's not me." And so, reluctantly, we said, "Yes, I'll do it." And I still remember the very first time I got up here and I acted like a chicken. Literally, I acted and walked like a chicken. And I did that to loosen me up. So I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to make a fool of myself now and just get it over with. And that way I can relax a little bit. And so that was my first experience actually teaching from a pulpit. And as nervous as I was going up to it, as fearful as I was going up to it, the minute I started walking up the step, I felt calm. I was still nervous, and it was adrenaline type of nervous, which is totally different than a fear. And whenever that happened, I knew, okay, this is what God wants me to do. And so we decided that we were going to start taking some classes, enrolling at Liberty, and trying to get some more education behind everything else, some more formal education, to learn a little bit more and be more studious of him. And so I'm still on that journey. I'm about halfway done through the degree program. And it's been a blessing, and it's been awesome to be able to help lead the students. They're great. Your guys' kids are just literally awesome. And it's a blessing to do it. I'm so thankful that you guys have allowed us to do that. I'm thankful for Jason to allow me to step into that position. Feel a calling to take this further. I don't know that I'll be in youth forever, but I know I'll be in the ministry field in some degree. And where that leads me, I don't know yet. But as soon as I do, I'll let you all know. So, thank you.
All right. Good morning. I'll talk a little bit about my conversion experience. I grew up in the Church of Christ. I was first, they taught about Christ, and on September 8, 2008, I accepted Christ as my Savior and was baptized in the Church of Christ. I fell away for about a couple years later, for about 7 years. I fell away, but I felt the Holy Spirit's presence in my life the whole time. I just ignored it and conformed to my worldly desires. And on late 2016, we had a few friends invite us here to Fairlawn to come. We were thinking about getting back in church. We just had our daughter a year before. And when we walked through the doors, it felt like home. And so we went home that day, and me and my wife Taylor talked, and we were like, that really felt like that's where God's calling us to be. So on March 2017, we became members. We're baptized here again as our membership. In the beginning part of 2018, around June or July, we had a church renewal journey. During this time, I had felt the Holy Spirit's presence, but I didn't know God. After that church renewal journey, that Saturday night, we had a service where they put a bunch of wooden stakes on the steps here, and I come up and I wrote where my mission field was going to be. And it just all of a sudden hit me that, you know, that God just hit me in the face. I was like, wake up. And so ever since then, a couple months later, Randy Jarvis approached me to take on, to be nominated as a deacon. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm young Christian. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that role. So I talked with a pastor, and I took on the Yoke Fellowship this past year. During this past year, the Lord has tremendously grown me spiritually closer to Him, to His callings in my life. He's been good to me through the trials and tribulations we've had with our daughter, as most of you know. And I feel like today that I'm fulfilling His calling for me to in the office of the deacon. Jason said, we were laughing there just a few minutes ago while Mark was talking, and he goes, "Oh, you know, your wife called." Mark said that Amber told him to help with the youth. And he's like, your wife asked you the same thing. So maybe here in a couple years we'll be doing the licensing service for you. And I'm like, no. So, yes, the Lord's been great to me and my family this past year. He's got us through an illness with our daughter. He showed me my spiritual gift of teaching on Sunday night in the discipleship D groups. If you haven't taken part of that, it's a great time. You guys really should come out. With being the Lord called my wife Taylor to put it on my heart as well to teach middle school age kids in our youth group, and it has truly been a blessing to do that. So that is all, and I thank every one of you, and I appreciate your prayers for me and my family as we go through this. Thank you.
Do you want to get? Jason said he loves my socks. They're Marvin the Martian. All right, for all of you in the front who don't know who Marvin the Martian is, Google it. Well, good morning. My name is Eric Clark. My wife Jennifer and I have been a member of the church now for coming up on 4 years. Unlike Mike, I did not grow up in church. I credit my wife Jennifer for leading me this direction and getting me to where I am today. But when we retired out of the Navy, we had spent 20-some years in Virginia Beach, had a great church. This is probably going to blow your mind. Every week, 2,500-ish people, but it felt small. When we came home, we were like, we know exactly where we're going to go to church. We're going to go to church over on the other side of town. That's right, that other side. And because that's where our best friends went. And we went there, and we went there, and we went there, and figured out that's not where we were supposed to be. So one of my lifelong friends, Miss Dolores Smith, who Jennifer will credit for sort of the way I act, that she did not spank me enough when I was a kid, invited us to come here. We came here very first Sunday, walked into Bill and Vita Sprouse's class, loved it, came here, loved it. We knew exactly this was where we were supposed to be. So fast forward a little bit, I'm sitting in the pew one day, and Jason walks over and says, "Hey, I have something I want to ask you." "Well, really, I have something I want you to pray about." And I was like, "Oh no, here it comes." And he said, "I would like you to pray about teaching a class for college age young adults." And I said, "Okay." And he turned around and walked away. Jennifer looks at me and says, "What'd Jason want?" I said, "Jason asked me to find a new church." But unfortunately, we had a lovely couple sitting behind us that overheard the conversation, so I knew I couldn't swing that as the real story. And she leans up and says, "I'm going to pray for you too." And so we talked about it, and there had been a void kind of in my life after retiring out of the Navy after 30 years of helping young people. So we decided to do it, jumped in, had no idea what I was doing, probably still don't. We're about a year and a half or so into it. So here's my plug for my class. If you're graduated high school, you're in your 20s or so, and you're looking for a place to go, if you don't want to go to a class with older people, no offense to the older people, we have more fun. Come to our class. It's right back here in 131. So then, here about a year ago, I think it might have been Dave that approached me first and said, "Hey, would you consider praying about being a deacon?" And we had a lot going on in our life, just started this class, I was quitting a job, lots of family issues, medical stuff going on, and I said, it's not the right time for me. And I felt really bad about telling Dave no, so I went and had a talk with Jason, and I had to explain to him, "Hey, listen, it's something I'm interested in, it's something I feel like I'm being led to, but just not right now. If I want to commit to something, I want to make sure that I don't fail at my commitment." So Jason said he understood. So this past year, I submitted my application, and for some odd reason, they said yes. So you guys are stuck with me. But we are excited to be here. We love the church, and we just want to serve. I love helping people. So that's all I got.
Amen.
Oh, and Rick, you're ready to be a pastor. That was a lot longer than 3 minutes.
Excuse me, I knew my mouth would be dry, and it sure is. And I sat down by Rick because I knew he'd speak first, then I could speak second and be finished, and here, sure I am. But if you don't know me, I'm Bob Hall. My wife Debbie and I have been coming to Fairlawn here since 1995, and I have I had the honor to serve as a deacon once before, and felt called to return to this service. And I think what I'd like to tell you is how I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the story I'd like to tell you. I was blessed to grow up in a family that took me to church. My next door neighbor as a child was my Aunt Edna and Uncle Holland. They were that couple that were in the church every day. The door was open. They were there. I think they unlocked the door. But they took me, and they taught me about Jesus. And my Sunday school teacher, Miss Laura Bell, you know, she taught me about Jesus. She told me that Jesus was born of a virgin, and he was the Son of God. And I believed her, and I still do. And she told me that Jesus died on a cross for my sins and that I'm a sinner. And I believed her, and I still do. And her son Brad and I took that class together for a long time. And when we got to around 13 or 14, I decided it was time that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I talked to my Aunt Edna next door, you know, when do you do this? Well, you do it now if you're ready, you know. And when you feel that calling, that's when you do it. And so I did accept Jesus as my Savior. And I'd like to praise God for the people that he has populated my life with to teach me and lead me, kind of keep me in line. Many of them are in this room. And some of them are gone. But Miss Laura Bell's not. I saw Miss Laura Bell last week. And it is good to see the people that have affected your life and helped you to find a saving knowledge of Christ. If you are here and you have ever taught a child about Christ, then God bless you, because that's the easiest time to reach somebody. And it's a wonderful thing to grow up knowing that you're saved. I did not live a perfect life, but all that time, in spite of being a near God or not so near God, my name was in the Lamb's Book of Life because Jesus died for my sins, and I accepted that truth. And that's, I guess, what I would like to tell you about my salvation. And as far as being a deacon, it's just that I really love this church. I really love the Lord. The way you serve the Lord is to serve his people. So I'm here to attempt to serve this church in any manner that I'm able to.
Amen. Well, I hope from that you can understand why I'm excited to welcome these guys to be a part of the leadership of the church, to be in service of the church, and to preach in various different ways to the church. When you hear the testimonies of them and how it is that God brought them here, it should be a great thing too, because they came from all different ways. They've been called in all different ways. Some of them have been in church all their lives. Some of them have been recent converts. Some of them are like me, that wasn't saved till much later in life. So it's there's a variety of ways that God calls people, and I'm glad that he has called this group of people to serve. I also did want to say that you guys were talking about the your part was going to be long. But actually, your guys' this entire testimony didn't take as long as Dave's normal reading of stuff for prayer. So, remember those ball-headed comments, Dave?
I'm back here applauding already.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to handle the licensing charge to the candidates first. This will be primarily to Mark and Rick. It's a great thing for the rest of you to hear, too, because like I said, I firmly do believe that there's other people, not only in the audience, but even maybe on stage, that God is calling to go into gospel ministry, not just serving as a deacon or something like that. Like I said, I'm a firm believer that God gives every single church everything they need to do the ministry of his commission. So there are plenty of teachers, there's plenty of volunteers, there's plenty of future pastors, there's plenty of missionaries, there's plenty of all those things sitting in the pews at Fairlawn Baptist Church. Because we are a church of Jesus Christ, and he chooses to gift his church in a way that needs to be done to carry out the ministry. So there are those people sitting in the audience. So all of this stuff, I hope, will strike a chord with you as well as it does with them. I hope that these verses we're going to talk through will help to bring home just how serious that call is for both of you. 1 Peter 5:14 says that, 1 through 4 says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So the first question that goes to the two licensing candidates would be this: do you realize and accept that this licensing is only the first step in fulfilling the role of ministry that God has called you to? Do you understand that? Okay. Do you commit to pray and follow the lead of the Lord in finding His place for you in ministry? 2 Timothy 4:2 says this: "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Do you promise to rightly handle the word of God, intending to bring only honor and glory to His name? Acts 20:28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. Do you promise to keep watch over the flock of God, the church? Do you promise to keep your own spiritual life free from those things that may bring dishonor to Him? The first verse we read about this part was, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Will you commit to daily devotion, pray, and reading to continue your spiritual growth? Will you accept constructive advice from the pastor and other leaders to continue to grow in the calling you now undertake? Will you be witnesses of Jesus Christ to the world around you? All right, now this mark moves to the deacon ordination charge. It is important to remember that the position of deacon may be honorable, but it is a position of service. Why I say that is because it's important as deacons, even when I was a deacon, to remember that we're here as servants, not as authority figures. We're not here to domineer, we're here to humbly submit. So it's an act of honorable position, yes, but it is a position of service. What are the duties of the deacon? The inference is, if a person is what he ought to be, he will do what he ought to do. That's what that 1 Timothy passage really means. It means that if a person is what he ought to be, he will do what he ought to do. As a deacon, that's essentially what we're committing to do. We're committing to be spiritual servants to God, and in so being, we will be spiritual servants to the body of Christ. Acts 6:17 says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Procurius, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This simple act that the apostles called for created the office of deacon. They were there to create, to serve in ways that freed up the pastor to be able to do the work of the ministry. So these roles that they fulfill are threefold. One is to be assistants to the pastor, then to be servants to the church, and third, to be witnesses to the world. First, deacons are to be assistants to the pastor. One problem with the ministry today is being over busy. Pastors are pulled in so many directions, they don't have time to pray and preach as they should. The New Testament church, following the day of Pentecost, experienced great growth. So great were the needs of the congregation, and so generous were the gifts, that the apostles became so occupied in the distribution of food that they were neglecting what was regarded to be the primary responsibility, which was prayer and preaching. This spiritual ministry led them to establish the office of deacon. This was to, in many ways, be an assistant to the pastor. So as you take on this role of deacon, will you be an assistant to the pastor? Will you promise to serve the church? Will you be witnesses of Jesus Christ to the world around you? Do you fully accept this charge? Gospel licensing and deacon ordination charge to the church. This is questions that you will be answering. Be prepared to say yes or no. The church also has a responsibility. They have a responsibility to deacons. They have a responsibility to pastors. They have a responsibility to those licensed in ministry. These charges that we talk about here are not just simply for deacons and not just simply for those that are licensed. They're for anyone that would ever step into those roles. As a church, we have to understand we have responsibilities that we're supposed to do for them. The church's obligation is also threefold. One, to pray for them. Two, to encourage them. And three, to respect them. The church should pray for its deacons and its leaders. The New Testament church was born out of prayer. Following the ascension of the Lord, the disciples, 120 in number, gathered in the upper room and began to pray. They prayed until the Holy Spirit came on them at the day of Pentecost. Because of the moving of the Spirit of God, Peter preached and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. As the church was born out of prayer, so it goes forward on the wings of prayer. There is nothing more important you can do for a person, especially a deacon or leader, than to pray for them. Someone has said, if you depend on organization, you get what organizations can do. If you depend on money, you get what money can do. If you depend on education, you get what education can do. If you depend on promotion, you get what promotion can do. But if you depend on prayer, you get what God can do. Those are very different things. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those that step into a position like a deacon or a gospel ministry. As a church, will you commit to pray for these men and their ministry? Second, the church should encourage its deacons and its leaders. Be an assistant to the minister and a servant of the church and a witness to the world. We should be helping them fulfill that role. They will spend long hours fulfilling their responsibilities. They will wrestle with hard problems in the congregation. They will receive criticism unfairly and unwarranted many times. They will need your encouragement. One of Satan's primary tools in ministry is discouragement. If he can drive the wedge of discouragement into our Christian commitment and service, he has won a major victory. Mark Twain once said, "I can live 3 months on a good compliment." There's enough discouragement in the world without you adding to it. Find a way to give a compliment every now and again. It goes a long ways. In marital counseling, I always tell people to treat it like a bank account. You get to make one withdrawal, one negative withdrawal for every 6 positive deposits. If you do that, you can build a very healthy relationship. But if it starts to flip the other way, you're going to have a very unhealthy relationship. The same is true in a church with its leaders and back and forth. If a pastor becomes too critical of his congregation, it will begin to deteriorate the relationship. And if a congregation becomes too critical of their leaders, it will deteriorate the relationship. Will you commit to encourage these men in all ways? Third, the church should respect its deacons and leadership. The deacon is a servant leader. The pastor is an authority, an under-shepherd, under Christ. They have only the authority that's bestowed on them by God and the church. We are not to follow anyone blindly, but when they offer a proposal, we should give it prayerful and careful consideration. We should understand they have access to facts that we may not have access to. Usually they have discussed and prayed over the matter thoroughly, and we should give strong consideration to their recommendation. Some of God's gifts to His church are in the form of gifted leaders. A church is blessed to have a deacon body that loves and serves it as well as Him. Our congregation has a duty to pray, to encourage, and to follow them. That usually shows itself in the level of respect that we have for them. So when you take on the role of being either licensed in gospel ministry or ordained as deacons, it's an area where we need as a congregation to respect them. Will you, as a church, respect these men and the positions they now assume? Church, do you completely accept this charge? And the question won't be on the screen, but church, do you fully commit to embrace these men in the new roles that they are going into? I'm going to pray for us. We're going to go to a time of invitation where I would invite you to come forward. This altar will be open for prayer. Come forward, pray for these men. Come forward and pray for where it is God is calling you to in different areas of service for Him. Come forward and pray for those that you don't know, or that you know don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. Then at the close of that invitation, I'm going to bring all of these men down front. At that time, any of our other ordained people in the room, whether that's from you were an ordained pastor at one point or an ordained deacon, whether you were ordained in this church or another church, I would invite you at that time to come forward. We're going to lay hands on them. We'll close out our service today laying hands on and praying for these men as they step into these new roles. All right, so I'm going to pray for us. We'll go to our time of invitation where this altar is open to you. Once that is done and everyone has returned to their seats, I will invite those ordained people to come down and we'll pray for these men. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for an undeserved privilege to lead a church that has leaders like these sitting behind me. Lord, I pray for them, for the roles they're stepping into, Lord, for their willingness to serve. God, I thank you for them, for their heart, for their willingness, and for their sacrifice in doing so. Lord, I pray for our church. Lord, you have people sitting in the pews today that are called to something, Lord, And I pray, God, you give them the boldness, the bravery to step out and answer that call for you. Lord, help them to experience the same joy that I get when I follow your call. The same closeness I get to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for those here that maybe don't know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that they saw in the testimonies we had today that all different types of ways that you have brought people to yourself. And Lord, today maybe is the day that you're bringing them to you as well. Lord, as we go to this time of invitation, I pray we lift up these men. I pray we lift up our church. And I pray, Lord, that we commit ourselves to service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before.
Up here in the greenery. Not like the entire sanctuary is not the greenery, but if I could get, if you are in the audience and you are an ordained individual, if you would please come down and join us while we do this. We're going, particularly if you would make sure you're touching either Michael or Eric or Rick or Mark or maybe someone touching them as far as that goes, but as close as you can get, we're going to lay hands on them, pray for them, and then we will dismiss for today, all right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these men, for their heart. But Lord, more than any of that, I thank you that you continue to use men like us, that you continue to call us, that you continue to draw us unto yourself and then empower us to do these things. We are not capable of them without your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit not only fills but empowers these men to perform the calling you have placed on their life. Lord, we stand behind them. We commit to pray. We commit to encourage. We commit to respect. But Lord, we ask you to deliver the power necessary, the commitment necessary, and Lord, the guidance to get us where we need to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.